Morning, everybody. How y'all doing? It is a beautiful, don't go outside to look, but it's a beautiful day. It's great. We're going to start today with page 29, and let's stand, please. 29. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings. Round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, clear their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair, and in the rustling grass He passes, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me ne'er forget, that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, in earth and heaven be one. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a spectacular day, Lord. The beauty of your creation, Lord, is really shining today. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today, Lord, in your house to worship you. Thanks for those that showed up, Lord, keeping us safe. Thank you for the words of the song, Lord. It says the battle is not done, but Lord, you've already won. We just have to go through and follow you, Lord, as we do. Thank you for those that showed up again, Lord. Just ask you to be with our pastor today, Lord, especially as he preaches. Lord, help us to sit here and just listen, Lord. Understand. Go through the Bible with him, Lord. Put this stuff in our hearts, Lord, that we can use in our Christian lives, Lord, as we leave this building today. I just pray for peace, Lord, more than anything amongst us all. Knowing what we have in you, Lord, is enough. Be with us, Lord. There's many folks that are sick, Lord, especially in my family, Lord. I just pray you'd be with them and make them well, Lord, that we can get them back here with us again. Others too, Lord, in our church. Just help us, Lord, to have a great day here, Lord, that we just honor and glorify you in all that we do. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me see. Well, invocation, got that. How about announcements? Here we go. We got our church service tonight at 6. A little more classic scripture passage. It's good stuff, folks. If you're missing out, it's a lot of history, Bible history there. Men's Bible study on the 11th and the 25th. And Pastor said personal evangelism. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, the personal evangelism is off a week. It'll be this Tuesday and then 2 weeks from then, 7th and the 21st.
7th and 21st on the personal evangelism. Got that. We got a deacon meeting on the 23rd. Wilton Bible study is going to meet the 16th and 30th. And we have a baptismal scheduled for the 26th in our evening service. And we got an ice cream social down here at the park. Don't forget, it's on the 8th. Pastor stopped for the week, and he said there is a biblical reference somewhere in Hebrews. But do you have faith that pleases God? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take them. Go ahead, Pastor.
Hebrews 11:6.
Thank you. Hebrews 11:6. Come on up, guys. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this gorgeous day, Lord. Thanks for the folks that showed up, Lord, here today, expecting a little time with you. Lord, we're going to be taking communion today also, Lord. Just guide and direct there, Lord. Help us to know and remember what our Savior did for us, Lord, as we do so. And Lord, to remember that we're going to be doing this in heaven with you one day, Lord, and thank you for that. Be with us now as we take this offering, Lord. Just guide and direct. Be with the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let's see, page 548, please. 548. Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? Knocks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid Him enter while you pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid Him enter while you may. Sing the last. Room and time now give to Jesus, soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now His word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid Him enter while you may. Thank you. Sharon's will come up.
The Lord laid this heart on my song last time we had communion, and the word just speaks to my heart. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock singing it, believe that or not, but it's a song, Why? Why did they nail Him to Calvary's tree? my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Sharon. Greetings, one and all. That is why we are here today, because Jesus paid our ransom. We were slaves to sin, and Jesus bought us back, redeemed us from the slave market of sin. Hallelujah, praise God. I hope you're excited today in your faith walk. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today. It is a wonderful day that God has given us. Every day God gives us is a great day. I want to ask you this morning, and is it time for the youngsters to head down? I guess it is. But how many of you today, if I were to ask you, could say that you're satisfied in your life? You know, Jesus and the Bible tells us consistently to be what? Content where we're at. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean our spiritual walk, but in our walk in the world, our physical walk. So I just want to ask us today, when we look at places like John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she was not a satisfied woman. It's recorded that she had several husbands and maybe some on the way, and Jesus knew that. She was not satisfied. But you know what? Jesus offered her satisfaction through the living water. He said, if you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst again. I just want to ask us as we go to worship this morning, are you still thirsting for other things other than the living water who is Jesus? He'll give you satisfaction. He'll give you peace. He'll give you meaning and purpose to life. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day. Absolutely. And a good day to praise God. So this morning, we're going to finish a message we started 2 weeks ago. It's kind of a little bit of a travelogue that the Apostle Paul was on in this case. And as we all know, we're going to look tonight at the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we know this in Romans 8, 28. He says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so I want to encourage all of us today here, brothers and sisters that are believers, and if you're here today and are not a believer in Jesus Christ, again, to understand that God has made a promise that He will not break. And whatever situation we may be in today, God will use it for good. We may not always be in His perfect will, but sometimes we operate under His permissive will. I've used that term many times. And God, in His ways, works things out for good. So I want to give us that encouragement this morning, but be sure that you've drunk of the living water and are not thirsting after other things today other than a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, we'll take a look at Paul's travelogue here, and I think we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul and his condition. Again, he has the same condition that we all had. He was a sinner. And he was saved by grace. I trust everyone in here has been saved by the grace of God, but if you haven't, God's grace is apparent today. And let me just tell you, if you're considering other ways, consider the way of the Lord, because you'll never regret going His way. Amen. And I encourage you to find something better that you can offer me that offers better benefits and more goodness that comes to you from God Almighty than through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, with that, greetings in His name. We're going to take a few moments here to pray. I'd ask that you pray for our brother Gene Rock this morning. I've been notified that he had left with some ailments. Just pray for many of our people today that are missing, and some that are ill, I know. Others, we know that we all have different situations in our lives, but these are all important things with the Lord. He knows, but He wants us to be in prayer and to uphold one another before the throne of grace. So it's with joy I welcome you today. Let's go to a few moments of silent prayer. By the way, anticipate as well our gathering here at the Lord's table. and that is another day to rejoice as we're reminded of just what Sharon sang to us about today. So let's go with a few moments of silent prayer. Adjust our hearts for worship with the Lord. And then I'll have just a short pastoral prayer and we'll be on our way. Oh, Lord God, we just come today before your presence. I hope today, Lord, that we have singing in our hearts, thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, today that we have given you the praise and the accolades that you so worthily are due. And Lord, now as we have a time here known as worship, I pray that as the word is preached and as the Spirit moves in the hearts of all of us today, Lord, that this would be a day that we would say and utter to you, you are worthy, Lord, you are an awesome God. And so we thank you that you have manifested yourself, as Sharon sang here today. You've come here, Jesus, God in the flesh, to die for our sins, to pay the ransom where only the perfect could come to save the imperfect. And so we realize you are the Son of God, but also God. And you did come out of love to die for the sins of the world and rise again to guarantee us new life. Lord, we live in a world today that nominally does not even know anything about you, but also chooses in many cases, even among believers, to have you in a place that is far down the line from the preeminence in our life. But we know that your servant Paul tells us in the book of Colossians that we ought to make you the preeminent one in our life. And I pray that that would be the case for me today, Lord, where I fall, and for the rest of us here in this room today. Now, Lord, we again praise you today, but we also thank you for your attentiveness and your intimacy, that you are willing, again, Lord, to have a personal walk with each and every one of us. And so we thank you today for the intimate power of prayer that we can have right at this moment. Lord, we mentioned already Gene, and I do pray for him, Lord, but I pray for many others today that are suffering maybe with a burden, Lord, of could be all kinds of things, guilt, depression, maybe hardships, Lord, health issues, all types of things. I pray today, Lord, that you would lift them up, help them to see that there are good things coming. And Lord, that this is a temporary thing here, that we ought to rejoice and give thanks and look forward to the day when we'll be with you. Lord, if there are people here that are not on that trajectory today, that are not thinking spiritually, not thinking forwardly to the things that you have promised us, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to forsake the things of the world and to move to you, O Lord, and to place our faith and trust and our eyes firmly on you. Now, Lord, again, there are many things going on, but we never forget our community, our families, Lord, those that we encounter in our work or in the process of life, Lord, that you would help us to be salt and light as we come before them this day and in the days to come. We think of our community. Lord, we have plenty of things that need done here. I pray that you would strengthen Fruitland for the work that lies ahead. And Lord, give us grace to help our days be worthwhile living, Lord, and to be profitable in your eyes. Now, Lord, I need your help today as always. This is a very big responsibility. Lord, this is not a thing for show. This is just real stuff. And I have my weaknesses and faults and frailties. But I pray you'll help me to bring out some points, Lord, today from your servant Paul. And Lord, we thank you for Scripture that shows us the way. You said yourself, Lord, that it's truth. And I want to perk up my ears when I hear about truth. And so, Lord, may you apply it today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to rejoin our travelogue that we started here a couple of weeks ago. And I'd like to begin in the vicinity of Acts 25 and verse 11. And if you recall what was going on, Paul was always out preaching after he was saved and after he went through some training and time in the desert and so forth. God appointed him to be the disciple to the Gentiles in particular, even though he still dealt with the Jews, Paul being a Jew by birth, but now a converted Christian on the road to Damascus. We know that at this point in Paul's journeys, and you can study about this, he had a little experience. He had a little time under the belt. And for those of us that have had a little time on our carcasses here in the service of the Lord and in the way things work in the world. We know that you got to get boned up and get tough for the journey, because it's not all going to be a cakewalk. By the way, if anyone ever promises you this, you know, we have the prosperity gospel that's very apparent out there today. I'll tell you what, there is prosperity when we get saved. There's prosperity in Christ, but you better be prepared. If you're really going to walk with Jesus, you better get your tough on. And you better be dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit and God's faithfulness in your life, because it's not going to be an easy thing. And let me just say this, folks. I think there's a lot of people today that have been hoodwinked about that. They get their toes stubbed once or twice, and they're ready to give up. Well, let me tell you something. We need to keep on keeping on. 1 Corinthians 58 is a very good verse for that. You do it God's ways. I do it God's ways. We'll never be sorry for that. Have you really ever been sorry you served the Savior? I think if you were right about this and in a right mode, you could never say that you're sorry. So my advice to all of us is, just like Paul, dig in and get going where you're at and make a difference for Jesus today. Paul was on his had finished his third missionary journey. You can study all about that. He'd been around the merry-go-round a few times. He knew what was coming down. Paul had a purpose in his life. You remember that he had a desire to get up to meet with the believers in Rome. Now understand that we did pray, didn't we? Yes. Sometimes I have these little things that, Leela, it's coming to you, but you got some time, okay? Paul had a desire to get up with the believers at Rome. Rome was not some big edifice or church building that we think a lot about that. Rome was a small nucleus of believers that were under persecution, because the Roman government was becoming increasingly opposed to the cause of Christ. Okay? You'll find this throughout all time, that most humanly organized and energized governments and entities, however you want to use that term, they will be opposed to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today, that's a danger and where I believe we sit in the United States. Folks, there are people that are opposed to Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. And they are Satan's emissaries, but that does not mean we run for cover and hide in the caves. It means that we trust Jesus Christ. Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, when he wrote to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And folks, I'm going to use my farmer talk, there ain't been nothing that's changed since. It's all the same thing. So let's get engaged and go and see what God has for us. I think it's exciting. Paul was just getting into the exciting things. But the thing I like about Paul, to cut to the chase here, if you remember this travelogue that we were looking at here with Paul, he was dealing with the Roman government, with the enemies of the Jews. The Roman government in this case, though, was somewhat on his side, because old Paul, and by the way, the Bible says we need to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Old Paul was no dummy. When he got into a little jam here and due process was not afforded him, and they wanted to give him a haircut right here, that's the Jews, folks, that wanted to do that to him. Paul went to his government, of whom he was a citizen, and he said, hey, Mr. Felix, you got to give me due process because I'm a Roman citizen. I'm due rights. By the way, here in the United States, do not relinquish your rights. Do not relinquish your rights, your constitutional rights. They may be just the thing, even in the times we live, that will help us to continue with the gospel. Anyway, Paul got his hearing. Paul, then there was a change in government from Felix to who? Hey, Marshal Dillon. Festus. The old Spurs, can't you just hear them jingling? So Festus has this dumped into his lap, and what's the first thing he says to Paul? I want you to go to Jerusalem, okay? Because they wanted to kill him in Jerusalem, the Jews. But as this all transpired, Festus did end up saying, we're going to leave you for protection in Caesarea. Yeah. And so that's where we're going to pick up the context today. And the third character that comes into this was the Roman puppet governor the nominal Jew, Idumean Jew, named Agrippa, and his wife, Bernice, his sister. I'm just checking to see if you're listening on all this. So we're going to find out, because what Paul said is, I want due process, and he says, I want to go to Caesar in Rome. And that was Paul's ticket to Rome. And you can read what happens after this. He had quite a journey. To say it mildly, the complaint department, if there would have been one on this journey, would have had a busy earful to deal with. You can read on. Paul was shipwrecked. He had everything you could imagine that happened. And that's how it is, folks, when we serve Christ. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but it'll be a walk that'll be memorable and it'll be dynamic. I encourage you to get on with Jesus today. Here we go. Beginning with verse 11, chapter 25. He says, I appeal unto Caesar. And Festus says to him in 12, when he conferred with the council, he says, have you appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. There's Paul's ticket punched for the trip to Rome. But Paul's not done yet, because we find out what takes place next. Again, under God's will, his permissive will, a guy comes into this. By the way, today, none of you are here by accident. None of us are here by accident. There are no such things as accidents in God's plan. Okay? So when people say, I was in an accident, or I accidentally had... No, you didn't. God allowed that. It may not have been his perfect will, but it was his permissive will for a reason. And that's what happened here with Paul. God's permissive will. He's going to get to meet up with Agrippa. So 13, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice, I've heard all three pronunciations, came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. In other words, they were going to bow down to their Roman puppet government that had them in power, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. We talked about this briefly. But Paul, he wanted to talk to Caesar. He appealed with his rights there. But Paul also defended and asked for a fundamental right that you and I have today, and that is the right to face our accusers and to be proven guilty in a court of law. Proven. We know there's all kinds of monkey shines and shenanigans. If you want the definition of those, meet me later. But there's always been that kind of thing that's gone on in our court systems. And in our day today, it is ever more prevalent. And let me just say this. This is an opinion, but I don't think it's ever changed because of sinful man. But he that giveth the most getteth the most grace. If you've got the cash, you can buy yourself out of a lot of things. Let me tell you, Paul didn't have the cash, but he appealed for his rights. He wanted to face his accusers. And that's a minimal thing that we should ask for as well today. It's given to us in our U.S. constitutional rights. Well, so they had to have a trial. Therefore, verse 17, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, notice this, they brought none or no accusations. What should he have done right there? Trial's over. Charges are gone. No accusations of such things as I had supposed. So he thought he was guilty too, until what? Paul got to face his accusers and he found out, hey, this man's being what? What's the common vernacular for this today? Starts with an F. Well, that's okay too, K. Railroaded. Framed. Yeah, absolutely. So, verse 19 goes on here, but they had certain questions against him of their own. In the King James, it says superstition. It means religion. This was a religious thing that was going on here. Satan was using the religion of Judaism to attack Paul. Satan always works through religion. Satan is repelled through a living faith with Christ. Never forget that. And about what, again? The name that will always be controversial. If Paul hadn't talked about Jesus, we wouldn't have this recorded here today. But Paul talked about Jesus. Jesus is a controversial name. And folks, for the most part, you're either for him or you're against him. And here it is, the gospel right there. Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be. And that's the problem, see? That's the problem. Jesus is a good guy. You know, and all the things he did, he had a great ministry, but he had more than a great ministry here on earth. He came for a reason. Sharon sang about it this morning. He came to die for our sins and rose again. And that's a sticking point with a lot of people because a lot of people don't think they're sinners, see? And they don't have a need for Jesus. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're all sinners. If you don't realize it today, even if you have not committed a sin today or omitted something in sin today, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. Our very makeup is bad because of our genetic ties. When God sees us, he doesn't see pretty things. But when he sees the blood of his precious son covering us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been imputed to us. Hallelujah, folks. This is good stuff. Verse 20, and because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be reserved under the hearing of Augustus, that's Caesar, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Felix wanted to send him to Jerusalem, but you see, after he'd understood these things, then he said, you know what, I'm going to keep him in protective custody. What was going on here behind the scenes, friends? God's protective care of Paul. Folks, whatever you and I face the rest of this day, tomorrow, the rest of the week, and the rest of the days God gives us, if you are born again in Jesus Christ, you are under God's care. There are no accidents that are going to happen to you. They will simply be what? Providential happenings that God has allowed to come into your life. Hallelujah. Let's quit worrying about all this stuff. I'll tell you what. Now, that doesn't mean, though, even though our destiny is secure, there still are things that we need to do right here on this earth. It's not recklessness. And we need to care for our families. We need to think ahead about things. But the point is, our eternal pathway is secure in Christ, no matter what may happen. And Paul knew that, didn't he? And Paul saw it. Anyway, verse 22, then Agrippa said to Festus, I'd like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. You think this was all a mistake, that Agrippa just happened to be there at that time, that all these things took place? The answer to that is no. Now remember the title of our message. I didn't give it again this morning, but it's what? It's the almost. Let me just say this today, folks. There should never be any almost after you've heard the gospel. You either have what? Made a decision for or against Christ, and time moves on. But there are no accidents if you heard the gospel. If you heard it here today, and you already have, basically, it's that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose the third day in victoriously over our sins. And to be saved is very, very simple. It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in him, obviously acknowledging that you're a sinner, deserving of eternal punishment against a holy God. And Jesus paid that price for you. If you have believed on that genuinely, you are rescued. You're saved. Yeah. And you again have God's precious blood, sinless blood, applied to your account, to your life. So here we go. How will this turn out? And on the morrow, when King Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. So here you can see the whole thing. By the way, you think about, aren't you thankful that we don't have a king in the United States? We got some people that want to be king, you know. But I'll tell you what, I never did like the English form of government because it is based too much on people and what people are. I like our concept here in the United States where people should be in those positions as servants, not as what to be served. Yeah. I'll tell you, there's a big difference. And Agrippa was in that position, but let me just tell you this today. God will work in every heart. God has a plan and he has a calling for people, whether you're here or here, and he's interested in you and I today. Amen. God does not discriminate against people. Yeah, the Bible says he is no respecter of persons. In other words, if you come from this strata or this strata, God is interested in you today, right where you're at right now. Right now. Anyway, so here we go to the hearing. Verse 24, and Festus said, King Agrippa and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here crying or pleading that he ought to not live, that his life was worthy of taking for what he believed. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I was determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. Festus didn't have a thing to send to Rome to have a valid reason to send Paul to Rome. And he said, I need help. I need you to come up with something so that he doesn't go empty-handed, that there is a validity of why I'm sending him to Rome. And here's how he concludes that in 27. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Good for you, Festus. This isn't a game. And he knew it. But you know what? There's a lot of people today that are playing games. We ought not play games. We ought to trust simply in the providential wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ for things and not play the games of men. The Bible says we ought not to fear what men will do unto us. Anyway, let's see how this turns out. Then Agrippa said to Paul, are you permitted to speak for thyself, or thou art? And Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. What do you think Paul did now at this time? You think Paul complained about the food at Caesarea where he was held prisoner? You think he complained about the conditions where he was at? You think he was upset about the different things that went on? How much do you know about the Apostle Paul? I don't recall ever that Paul complained after he was born again in Christ of where he was at. How many of us in this room today could say we don't have a complaint or two we'd like to air? But I want to tell you, you may have a legitimate complaint, but we have no complaint against Jesus today. Absolutely none that are valid, okay? Anyway, notice what Paul says here. He stretched forth his hand. I think it was probably like this. What was Paul going to do at this time? Was he going to complain to Agrippa? He was not going to complain to Agrippa. Notice there in verse 2, he says, I think myself, I'm depressed today, Agrippa. I need some treatments. Paul said what? Man, this is great stuff. I'm glad to be here. He says, I am happy, King Agrippa, because I'm going to give you the answer. There's people today, maybe some in this room today, that are searching for answers, you know. Well, I won't go there because we're short on time. But Paul says, I'm going to give you an answer this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. We're going to go through this quick. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Guess what Paul's going to deliver to Agrippa? The gospel. And he says, Agrippa, you better listen to this because you're no dummy. There's a lot of people in our world today that are not dummies, but they're dumb. Now, I know the real meaning of the word dumb. They're able to speak, but they're not very smart because they reject the gospel. I mentioned this morning in our study there at Moscow, you know, when you deal with people that reject the word of God, you always say, but what if you're wrong? Well, I'm not wrong. Do you really believe that we're not wrong about some things? If you reject this word of truth that claims to be the truth, you could be wrong. I believe you are wrong. But you know what? I would like to know all I can about anything. And that was the way Agrippa was. Paul understood with Agrippa, this guy might listen. He's a sharp cookie. Let's go. Verse 4, my manner of life from my youth was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. Paul says, my history is very clear. I was a Jew's Jew. I studied at the feet of Gamaliel, a master teacher of Judaism. By the way, Gamaliel was a smart guy. He told the Jews when Christianity was beginning, he says, you know what? If this is something for real, it's going to last. And if it's not, don't worry about it. Don't go out killing people, doing all this stuff. If it's right, it'll go on. Gamaliel was sharp. I wouldn't be surprised we might see Gamaliel in heaven. I don't know. But anyway. So Paul's basically saying, from my beginning, I was a Jew's Jew. And he says, even here in verse 5, I was a Pharisee. What do you know about the Pharisees? They were the right-wing radicals. Okay? They had a lot of the biblical mandates right, the Old Testament right, but they lacked in some areas because they were legalists. You know, they were trying to force things on others that they didn't even do themselves. We could talk about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and a third group that's not mentioned in the Bible, but called the Essenes. That's all in the scene. This stuff's all in history, folks. And Paul claims that. He says, I was a Pharisee. I was of the strict Orthodox people. But you know what? Now I'm standing and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Paul says, I'm here because of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell it to you, brother. Unto which the promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Paul said, we're a bunch of dummies. I know I shouldn't use that terminology today. But he said, we've had that message right here. By the way, the message of Jesus Christ starts in Genesis 3:15. It's called the Proto-Evangelium. There will be one born of a seed of a woman. That's unique because the seed comes from the male. This is the virgin birth. This is Jesus. He's spoken of throughout the Old Testament, folks. They could have been prepared, but they what? They were so smart, they were ignorant. Someone said it for me. I wasn't going to say that terminology again, but you got it right, whoever said it. Anyway, he says, this is the hope, and we've lost it. We've been bypassed. Verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I, turn the page, John. Oh, I'm sure having time with these pages. There we go. That I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He cast his vote to kill people, Christians. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul was a what? He was a zealot. In this case, for Satan. He was against the cause of Christ. But then he tells what happened to him. By the way, the Damascus Road experience, we won't go into that today because of time. But you know something? You ought to consider your experience with Jesus Christ and when you were saved, when you received Christ as your Savior. Folks, it's called a testimony. And let me just say this today. If you've never been saved, you may not have a testimony. But if you have been genuinely born again in Jesus Christ, you will have a testimony. You will have a point in your life when you yielded to Christ, when you became a new creature in Christ. But here's the, and that's for all of us to discern in here today about our salvation. But here's the thing that's important about that. If you've been born again in Jesus Christ, you will have a testimony, and you will want to what with that testimony? You'll want to share that testimony. Because it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened in your life. It's not about who you married. It's not about the decisions you made about business or all kinds of other stuff. It's about Jesus. And if he's not number one in your life today, folks, we have a problem. Paul's saying this, he's number one in my life, and that's why I'm going to testify even though my head is on the chopping block. By the way, our testimonies, Paul's testimony had an impact on Agrippa. Why? When we talk turkey with people and it's genuine, the Holy Spirit uses that, folks. He does. And what Paul was saying to Agrippa touched Agrippa. I believe it did. Anyway, and he tells about the story here. Midday, the brightness. You know what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus telling him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You know all that. But again, the message that came out of that, Paul was telling him there in verse 17, he delivered him from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. God had a reason there for Paul to be saved, and the major part of that was for the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, to receive the gospel. Remember, God promised that. It was to the Jew first, and also the non-Jew, the Greek. And Paul did that. By the way, most of our pastoral and church doctrine was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Brother Paul. Thank you, Jesus. And here's why. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So now Paul brings it personally. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul says, I'm here. I've been around the merry-go-round with all this, and I'm here today, Agrippa, for a reason. And that reason is who? You. You. So here's why I'm here, Agrippa, why you're hearing me, because the Jews didn't, I'm summing this up, the Jews didn't want to hear the message that I brought. See it there? For these causes, at verse 21, the Jews caught me in the temple, and from that point on, they have wanted to what? Give him the haircut right here. And so he goes on, verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to the... Paul says, I'm not here of my own doing. God has helped me. And so to this day, Agrippa, I'm here testifying of Jesus, witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul said, there is nothing radical in my message, but it's a radical message that's been there that hasn't been seen. Folks, I think that's the truth with New Testament Christianity. It's a radical message that most people don't want to see. That, and here it is, the gospel, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made you... You gone nuts, man! You know, sometimes when we present the gospel and if we present it with passion, people think we're loonies. I don't want to be put in that case, but there's probably some that do. But I'm going to tell you, folks, what we lack in our church today and what we lack in the preaching and in my preaching is passion. Passion. Now, see if I can remember this. There's three P's I always talk to people that do public speaking. Preparation, prayer, passion. Any one of those things, if they're lacking, it's going to be a poor, there's another P, delivery. But this is what I think. Paul was in the eyes of Agrippa and he said, hey, Jack, this is real stuff. Hopefully you're getting that from me today. that I'm not up here just making a show, but this is reality and this is the truth. And Paul wanted him to see it. But you mark my words, even if you're a secular speaker, those three P's. Here's another P. By the way, I did a thing one time. It came out 14 P's I could put in a message. It's called alliteration. It's powerful. Okay, we got to go. Could we have an extended time today? But Paul says, no, I'm not crazy, Festus. I'm not mad, most notable Festus. But speak forth the words of truth. And King James translates it soberness, but it means reason. I'm talking truth. This book isn't crazy. This book puts it all together. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are what? The Bible is the most readily available communication that is available to man. Anyone can have a Bible. You can have one here today free. I've got a stack of them downstairs. But how many people really want the Bible? Until you're ready, until you're thirsty like the woman at the well and you want that thirst quenched, the Word won't have an impact on you. But when the Spirit turns it on, folks, it's the thing. All right, we got to go and get to the conclusion here. Paul comes right down to the nitty-gritty here. He says, Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And then Paul says, I know you do. Even though he was a nominal person, he's an Idumean, a puppet, he knew him, and he was a sharp cookie. Maybe there's someone here today. I don't know. I can't know everyone, and I wouldn't know all of us anyway, personally. We can't. But you know, maybe there's someone here today that knows this stuff, but it's never become real. Well, let's finish this up. Paul got right down to the nitty-gritty, but in verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost. You know, I believe in the years that I've been behind the pulpit or teaching in different things, I don't think my preaching's very good. And yet I don't know what to think about all these things because I think some of the TV stunts, the filled aisles, the filled altars at churches, I don't know how much of that is real. But the point is, how many people for you and for me are almost there? I can't make it happen. Oh yeah, you can do a thing, you can get passionate. You see it, watch the TV. But what's genuine? But my biggest question when I think about people, was it not enough? I believe this with all my heart. What Paul preached to Agrippa was enough. What more was he going to say? But Agrippa at this point said, almost. Meaning what, class? The point wasn't driven home quite yet to him. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. I'm not a persuasive speaker. I have a different way about things, but I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. All I can do is bring the power of the Word, and the Spirit has to do the rest. But all I want us to understand here today is if you're in that category of almost, and you know it, you and I know it, that is one of the saddest places that you can be. And it's one of the most dangerous places you can be. I could beat that home for the rest of the day. I'm not going because you know it. My question is, you think we'll see Agrippa in heaven? And I don't know. But my prayer is, like it would be for anyone here today that's almost there, that it no longer became almost, but I believe. That's the point of the whole message today. There's no point in me yammering even further. You know. But if you're in the almost category, why not today? Let it be the day that you say, I'm going with you, Jesus. It all fits together. May the Holy Spirit have that power upon one here today who has not believed if that would be the case. Amen. We're going to sing before we get ready for communion. Deacons, hop right up here. We're going to sing page 185 as we prepare to have our time and around the table here. Jesus paid it all. And that's what we're here to focus on during this time of communion, the Lord's Supper. As we focus on the Savior and what He did for us on Calvary's cross. The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
have unconfessed sin, obviously if you're not saved, or things with the Savior, you know, that you have a problem with today. But if you are in fellowship today, it's a good day, again, to be reminded visibly of what Christ has done for us. Again, I cannot delineate all the sins that the Bible speaks about or different things, but you know in your heart where you're at today. So it's with that we participate in this service. And I've got to turn a page here. This is found in 1 Corinthians, and I'm in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." At the conclusion of that symbolic breaking of the bread, which meant his body would be broken for the sins of the whole world, they then shared the cup, which symbolizes his blood. I'm going to ask Lonnie if he would thank our Heavenly Father for sending his Son, but also the Lord Jesus for voluntarily dying for our sins, being pierced in his side, nailed to his hands, and his blood was given for the sins of the whole world that day on Calvary's cross.
Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we can come here today for a memorial service, Lord, remembering what your Son, unique Son, gave his life for us. Thank you for his sacrifice, Lord. Speaking about it briefly, Lord, today, Pastor going through your word, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, how the Jews were so hated then, and here our nation, Lord, has turned to literally they hate your people again, Lord. But it's not about that, Lord. It's about our Savior Jesus, Lord. Thank you for him. Thank you for his life here, Lord, and what he did for us. His sacrifice, Lord. His love for us, Lord, is what it's all about. This is just a small peace, Lord, today that we're remembering him with the cracker and now this drink, Lord, the fruit of the vine. Help us remember, Lord, always. Keep him in our thoughts always, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Judas is